Okay, Bezos Hashem, Malachim Aleph, Perek Chof Aleph. From the beginning, okay? Vayihi achar hadvorim ha'ele. It was after these things, after which things? We saw last week that Achav was told by Eliyahu that you failed in the, not by Eliyahu, by the Navi, by Michayhu. You failed in the story with Ben-Hadad. You had that battle against him. You were expected to put him to death. You let him live. And this is going to cause your demise. And if you remember last week, we concluded with the pasuk that it says that the king of Israel went to his home down and dejected. And he came back to Shomron, which we explained last week from Moshe David Bali, was that he kind of lost all his oomph, and he said, if so, I'm just going to revert back to my old ways. So he said he went back to Shomron, it was as in back to the Shomron ways, right? You know, just forget about it. I can't do this, I'm just going to go back to my good old Avodah Zarah. Now, this was a decision, but he hadn't actually acted on it. So Rav Moshe David Bali says that this coming parrot continues directly off that. But Mepharshim say, Rashi says that this coming incident was basically Hashem's way of, let's just bring it to its end already. Like Yaakov the whole time is like, again he makes an attempt to do tshuva, and then again back to, and the whole time it's like back and forth. And so Hashem says, alright, we're going to bring it, we have to get clarity here. Is it this way or is it that way? And this is where this perek comes in here. So Rav Moshe David Bali adds that after he had already made that decision, so Hashem said, you know what, let's not prolong the agony. Let's have this final incident, which will just bring it there all the way, and the story will be finished. So let's see. It was after these things. Kerem hayal in Novos HaYisraeli, Asher B'Yisrael, Etel Heichal Achav Melech Shomron. There was a man whose name was Novos of Israel, and he had a vineyard next door to Achav's palace. Now, this palace was not the royal palace. The capital wasn't Israel, right? The capital was Shomron. That was where the capital was. But he had an estate. He had an estate with a palace in Israel. I don't know if it was his summer home, but whatever it is. Okay. Now, Vayedaber Achav el Novos Leimar. So Achav spoke to Novos, saying, Tanali es karmecha, grant me your vineyard, right next door to his palace. Vihi li ligan yarak, I would like to plant a garden there. Ki hu karov etzel beisi, because it's right near my home, and it would work beautifully for the landscape. Vet nalecha tachtov kerem tov mimenu, I'll give you instead a better vineyard. Im tov veinecha, or if you prefer, I'll give you the price. You want money, I'll give you money. You want a vineyard, I'll give you a better vineyard. I want this vineyard. Now, did Achav have a right to demand this vineyard? Or was this, you know, you make an offer, he accepts, he refuses. The Mepharshim addressed this because the Pasuk does say, when Shmuel, in the first place, when the Jewish people want a king, and Shmuel is talking to them about getting a king, approaching them for asking for a king, he tells them, you know, that a king, the way it'll work is, he'll take your fields, he'll take your olive trees, he'll take your vineyards to support his servants. And the halacha is that Shmuel was actually describing them what the king's legal rights are. He's not just telling them he will seize them by force. No, you should know that a king has these rights. Oh, so here's the question. Oh, so ostensibly, Achav had this right. But the Mepharshim say no. He did not have, this was not in the capacity of that right. The Malbim says, like the Chemi just suggested, the Malbim says that that's allowed to be done in the capacity, in the royal context, in the context of him as the leader of the nation. Meaning, certainly if it's an issue of funding the armies or things that he needs in order to keep the system going, certainly. But even more than that, the Malbim says, if he has a palace in the capital, the capital is the seat of the nation's prestige, the grandeur of the whole royal estate is important for national prestige, there also he would have the right to seize any of the areas surrounding the palace in order to annex them to the palace grounds. Fine. But that wasn't this. As we said before, that's why Malbim says that to the Pasuk stresses. He was a king in Shimer, and Shimer was his capital. This was an issue of his private estate. He wanted to expand it, but this did not give him the rights, the license that a king has to seize somebody else's estate. That's what the Malbim says. The Radak gives other reasons why he didn't have that right here. But whatever it is, the general consensus of the Mepharshim is that although a king does have this right, this was not in that capacity. And therefore, yes, he made him an offer. And it's up to Navais to decide whether he wants to accept it or not. So now, Vayomer Navais el Achav. So Navais said to Achav, Chalila li me Hashem. Chalila by Hashem. It would be wrong toward Hashem. Chalila, I should do it to Hashem. Mi titiyas nachlas avois haylach. For me to give the inheritance that I have from my forefathers to you. He's refusing. But he didn't say, no, I'm sorry. He said, Chalila ta Hashem, that I would give my forefathers' inheritance to you. What's the big Chalila? So, he was making a point here. He wasn't just refusing. He's making a point here. The Malbim says, this was a not so subtle rebuke. There was a message here that he wasn't articulating, but he was throwing it in his face. What he was saying is, he says, a heritage from my forefathers is something sacred. I consider it sacrilegious to let go of something bequeathed to me by my forefathers. Adkan. Okay? You understand the message. But you found it easy to drop everything that your forefathers gave to you. I'm telling you that I am a true Jew, okay? And as far as I'm concerned, even a material estate that links me to my grand past is something that I feel that it's sacrilegious to let go of. Let alone my forefathers' faith. And therefore he says, Chalila li me Hashem. Making a point, there's an issue of Hashem here involved. I won't give my estate to you.
Maybe he was particularly upset because he just went to war over Machmar Adenecha, that Achav was fighting for the Torah. He just went to war. It's small detail about Ben Adad, he messed up, but he just, you know, led a victorious sort of campaign against Aram.
Well, the truth is, the whole time it wasn't a complete contradiction to, yes, he loved the Torah, but even while he was doing that, it wasn't necessarily a steer or two, because Avodah Zarah. It's true, when we say, we have to qualify that, when we say that he forsook what he had from his fathers, doesn't mean that he dropped Torah entirely. We kept saying that all along. He kept Torah, he kept Halacha. Just what? Certain weaknesses. One of them was Avodah Zarah. Okay. Right? But everybody's got their thing, right? So, on the contrary, no, let's not get like that. You're a Frumi, right? You're completely opposed to Avodah Zarah. I dabble in Avodah Zarah, but I'm also from. Right? So now, Achav got his point. Vayavoy Achav el beisoy sar vizavus. Again, Achav came home dejected and down. Al adova asher diber elov Navis Yisraeli. Because of what Navis Yisraeli has said to him, when he said, I won't give you my forefather's heritage. Malbim says, his point hit home. And as we keep saying, Achav he did not reach a state of feeling completely, can't ever reach the state of feeling completely comfortable with his lifestyle, right? And we keep seeing how he keeps on regretting, but then going back. And this is like the classic example of what Chazal say, Rishayim Malayim Charatis. So Rosh is not necessarily the guy who's diabolical with the evil laugh, you know, and whenever you come, whenever he sees anything Shebekdusha, he just rolls into a long evil laugh and scorns it. No, you can have another kind of Rasha. The Rasha who keeps on saying, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again," until an hour later. Rishayim Malayim Charatis. Resolve doesn't get him anywhere at all.
So this expression starts with that the last time as well.
That's right.
It's almost like, what's the point of being king? I'm just going to reject it on the top.
Oh, that's right. As we're going to see very soon, you're making a good point. So again, he's dejected, he's depressed. The point hit home. It hit a raw nerve. So he was so down. He went, lie down in his bed. He turned his face to the wall. He lost his appetite, didn't want to eat. Depressed. What's that?
Spoiled brat.
Oh, okay. So, let's see how the authority in the house deals with it. We know who the authority in the house is, right? So, let's see. So, what happens? So, Izevel, his wife, comes to him. And she said to him, why are your spirits so down? You're not eating. So he told her, he said, because I just spoke to Novois HaYisraeli. I made him an offer. I said, sell me your vineyard for money. Or I'll give you a different vineyard instead. And he told me, I won't sell you my vineyard. Notes the way he worded Novois' refusal. He worded Novois' refusal a lot more technically. Right? He said, no, I don't want to sell you my vineyard. He didn't say anything about Chalila Mehashem. He didn't say anything about my forefather's inheritance. He didn't say any of that. Why? Because he didn't want Izevel to know what was really bothering him. She's going to be very disappointed in him. Right? I've worked so hard to get you to appreciate our Avodah Zarah. Right? And as we've already seen, she had him wrapped around her finger. She had him wrapped around her finger. He didn't want to confess to her that that's really what's bothering him. No, he wants her to believe that he's already long past any such regrets. Right? He didn't want to confess to her.
Isn't it funny that like, this generation is being credited as people don't say Lashon Hara? By Avadia and whatever, and that's why they didn't get a Korban based on Mikdash, but you get it. And this is like the worst Lashon Hara you could ever say. To tell Izevel what Neville...
So the truth is he didn't even exactly tell her. Well, it'll get worse, but he didn't even exactly tell her. That's kind of Malvin's point here. Malvin says that all he told her was, I really wanted... What he's conveying is, I really wanted that vineyard. I'm really disappointed. That's all he's saying. I wanted to buy Novice's vineyard. He didn't want to sell it to me, and I'm really disappointed. That's not so bad.
No, it's certainly less than hard to go tell somebody who has a reputation for being a wicked person.
Oh,
you know.
Okay. So you're right. You're right. Let's see how this unfolds. So that Toimer Elov Izevel. So Izevel said, Izevel Ishto. So Izevel, his wife, said to him, is this how a king operates? A subject tells him something, he gets all depressed, doesn't want to talk to anybody, right? Now, okay, so I'm not eating supper tonight, right? That's a king. A king is aloof. A king is on top of the situation. A king can't be affected by something that his subject says. So, and in addition, Malbim says another point that she's making. Well, you're first taking the throne now. Don't be a wimp. A king gets his way. A king isn't defended by a subject, and a king gets his way. You're not a new king. Yes, there may be certain laws in the kingdom, but you are an established monarch. You can do what you want. So she tells him, "Kum achol lechem v'yitav libecha. Come out of bed. You go sit down for a good meal, and leave it to me. Ani eten lecha es kerem Novos HaYisrael. You want Novos' vineyard? I'll take care. You go have a good meal. I'm going to go take care of it. Okay? Now? Achav is innocent. He sits down for his meal. She's going to take care of it. Great. She takes care of everything in the house. Now, as you pointed out, he knows he's Eva. Right? He knows what she's about. Right? It should have been a question of, well, what do you have in mind to do? No, he's going to have his meal. He leaves it in our house, in her hands. Right? He's confident. The matter is in good hands. He's going to enjoy his meal. Okay. So he is guiltily innocent here. So what does she do? She has her modus operandi, right? She has a way of doing things. Vatichtav sfarim b'shem Achav. So she went and she wrote letters in the name of Achav. Vatachtav b'chay samay. And she sealed it with his signet ring. I heard somebody say once that Hillary Clinton is such a good, this is back when Bill was president, that Hillary Clinton is such a good ventriloquist that you don't even see her lips moving when Bill talks. Right? That's what you're seeing here, right? She has the signet ring. She writes letters in his name. On the contrary, if he wants to write a letter, he comes to get her approval right before he signs it with his signet ring. So, Vatishlach Sfarim El Azkenim El Achoyrim. She sent letters to the elders and to the officers, Asher Be'iroi Hayoshvim Es Novos, in the city of Novos. Which were these elders and officers? The ones that she knew. Okay? Now, she couldn't just go have. We have to know something here. She's now going to go through this whole conspiracy, okay? To have Novos killed. Why didn't Achav, or her for that matter, just send someone to kill him? And then seize his land. So this we have to understand. Rav Gamliel would emphasize this. They could not do that. They could not do that. This was a land of law. A land of which law? It was a land of Torah law. The land could not be run in other ways. If you were to come now and to just completely override Torah law and start, you know, killing head, seizing there, the nation would not stand for it. They would have a revolt on their hands. And he's ever understood that too. And she has to operate within the system. Still, it's fine. There are ways of doing it. So what happened? So she wrote a letter saying, listen to this, listen to her mind. Declare a fast day. Find some reason to declare a fast day. Come up with a tzara. Okay. Now, what's the significance of a fast day? What happens on a fast day? On a fast day, the nation, everyone gets together in shul, and a major feature of the fast day is that the people collectively try to find problems, sins that might have been at the root of the tzara. This was a contrived tzara. Okay, she came up with the tzara. I don't know what, but
maybe the tzara is a nevuah.
Meaning what?
If he was, you know, according to his shame, right? And another college baruch is, that's the reason to have a fast day.
Well, she's kind of working backwards. And she's saying, we'll have the fast day. It seems like that the way she's setting it up is, everyone will get together, we'll see, has anybody done anything wrong? Then the witnesses will come and accuse him, etc. Unless maybe you're suggesting it really worked the other way around. I didn't even think of that. Maybe that's the shot. Fast day because of this. Oh yeah, maybe. But she was Navas Barosha. And then bring Navas up front. But she was Shnaim Anoshim Buyal. And take two low down people. Why is he Zevil talking this way? But this is where the Gemara says that false witnesses for hire are so cheap that even their hirers scorn them. Even the one who hired them scorned them. Okay, find two low cheap people, okay? And Vashivo, Shnaim, Anoshim, Nebriyam, Nebdoi, have them face him, the Iduhu Leymar, and have them testify, saying, Be'enachta Elohim v'melech. You cursed Hashem and the king. Vayitzi'u v'suklu v'yamos. And then sentence him and take him out, stone him, and kill him.
Now who are these Canaan and Chorin who would listen to her?
So Rashi says, okay, now Shai, I guess she had her own Beis Din also. Maybe these were courts. Well, no, we couldn't. Mamish.
What are Chorin?
Chorin means officers. The Mefarshim say that she was doing a combination of things here. Why did she have to hit him with both hands? Why couldn't it be one or the other? Cursed Hashem has to be put to death. Cursed king has to be put to death. Why both? Oh, what's that?
What did you say,
Christian? Said, you do Lamar and testify saying, Berachta Elohim v'melech. You're blessed. Blessed is a metaphor, right?
This is another piece of evidence of the general common folk who kept on blessed.
That's right. That's right. The Mepharshim make that point. The people would not have allowed them to get away with just, you know, doing this straight.
She has to come up with a plan to curse Baruch Hu.
Within the confines of halacha, to have him put to death. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. So the Mepharshim said she was trying to gain two things here. She specifically wanted him to be accused of cursing the king because a person who's just executed for Chilul Shabbos, his heir is inherited. But a person who's killed as a rebel, as a Merid B'Malchus, the king gets his estate. So she wanted this to be a sentence of Merid B'Malchus.
Why not skip the Hashem?
Why the Hashem? Hashem was because she wanted to incur the righteous wrath of the people. She wanted everybody to be looking at him angrily. Right? She didn't want it to be just the case of, here's an upstanding man who's coming, he's being tried, someone came with an accusation, he cursed who? He cursed Achav! No, so did I last night. Privately, he made the mistake of being heard. She wanted a case that would be that would have, you know, stack the deck against him, people would be upset at him, nobody would be sympathetic, he'll be killed quickly, and also, you know, it would be a serious charge against cursing Achav. No, say that. We can't hear it. Right? But a serious charge, and he himself would be a little bit blown away. Before he'd have a chance to give himself a good defense, he'll be dead.
Why should you go and involve with Kenim and Torim and like that song? Why don't you just send out these two witnesses out to the court of Israel and say, this man, like my person, is someone there?
So first of all, she needed witnesses from the area to be hired. Why didn't she just arrange that?
Listen, why is it so? Because it sounds like a coincidence that why they come forward all of a sudden. So you have this gathering where they all came together to find out what the sin is, and then they figure it out.
They discovered the sin. It's also possible that had she not been operating with the best that she knew, if it was a real Sanhedrin, they would have acquitted him. Because as we know, right, the Gemara Sanhedrin says, death sentences were extremely rare. The interrogation was so intense that they always poked holes in it. Once in 70 years was considered a murderous case. Right? So she wanted to make sure that this case would be concluded as she wanted it to. To take his property. That's what she wanted him. So she needed both. Yeah, she needed the king in order to get the property, and she needed Hashem so that everybody should be against him. So, Vayasu, just look at the rishis here. She's abusing the sacred concept of a tzoim and its significance of everybody getting together for communal introspection. It's such a feature of Klal Yisrael's righteousness, right? And with her diabolical mind, she's even using that toward her. She's getting the people into all matzav of tshuva and everything in order to carry out her schemes. Vayasu anshe iroi hazkenim v'achirim asha yishnim v'iroi. So indeed, the elders and the officers of his city, they did kasher sholcha aleim izevel, as izevel commanded them, kasher kasu basfarim asher sholcha aleim, as it's written in the books that she sent to them. The Malbim wants to a little bit take away from the blame on these elders. Right? According to the way we're seeing it here, most of the Mepharshim see it, these are direct collaborators with her wicked scheme. The Malbim wants to make it a little bit, not going to completely relieve them of guilt, but he says that what was going on was a little more subtle. He says, she sent out this message from Achav, in which the whole thing, he makes it a lot more of a scheme on her part, but a little bit eases the guilt on them, not entirely. She sends him this letter from Achav, basically saying, telling the story that really happened. The story that really happened. I had an exchange with Nabis. And he cursed, insulted, cursed is a bit of a strong term, but she's taking it from insulted to cursed, the king and the gods. Also true. Okay? So, basically she's taking the true story, fluffing it a little bit, right? And then she sends them this message. And when she's telling them to hire witnesses, it wasn't that she was coming up with a complete concoction. She says, this is a conversation that Achav had with him. Now, Malbim says, it's beneath the king to come and start testifying, he cursed me, this, that. But you understand, if Achav is sending this letter, it's true. Right? Who would doubt Achav's word? And so, there's one piece that you need to fill in here. Get other witnesses, because it's beneath the dignity of the king. It's a true story. He deserves to be put to death. He did curse the king. He did curse the god. Doesn't matter exactly which god, is not relevant right now. And he does deserve to be put to death. You just take care of the witnesses. He says, Manelo, under the pressure of the queen and the fear, that's how guilty they were. Okay, that's the Malbim's take on this. But the other Mepharshim just seem to be going with the straightforward understanding that this was one wicked scheme and that the elders, these elders were with her in her plot.
They didn't necessarily have any connection to her.
What's that?
Just getting letters from the king.
Right. They got, as far as they're concerned, they got the messages from the king. That's right. So, Karut Sain declared a fast day. And they called Navais up there to the front of the people. And these two low down people came. And they sat opposite him. And these two low down men testified against Navais in the presence of the whole people, saying, Beirach Navais Elikim Vamelech. Navais cursed Hashem. And the king, they took him outside of the city, and they stoned him, and he died. And then they sent a message to Izebel saying, "Sukal Navois Vayamos." He was stoned. He's dead. Vayehi kishmaya Izebel kisukal Navois Vayamos. When Izebel heard that Navais was put to death, a time and Izebel and Achav, so Izebel came back into Achav and she said, "Kum reish es karam Navais Israeli." She took care of it very quickly. Right? He sat down for lunch at about 1 o'clock. Quarter to two, she walks in and she says, "Okay, no, obviously it wasn't the stairs. There wasn't email then, but apparently it was a couple of days. Whatever it is, she says, "Kum reish." As Karen Novak says, Israeli, go ahead, inherit the vineyard of Novak, Hashem Eilo says to Chabekesef, that he refused to give to you for money. Because, what do you know? Coincidence of coincidences. Since the last time we spoke, he died. Okay.
So even though she read in his name, he's supposed to conceive that everybody knows that she was behind it.
They report it back to her. So Malbim does make a deal, and he says that if you back up in the Pesukim, Malbim says that first it says that she wrote letters in the name of Achav and she signed it with a signet ring. telling him the story. And then it says that she wrote letters saying, declare a fast. The Malbim, Kedarkoi, very carefully notes any nuances. It seems that there were two sets of letters. Right? First it says that she wrote letters in the name of Achav saying, what nobody did. And then it says that she wrote letters saying, declare a fast, etc. So Malbim says that what she did was, she sent letters in Achav's name telling the story. Then she sent her own letter following up and saying, Achav's not going to come testify. Here's how you should get the job done. Declare a fast and have witnesses testify. So basically, according to Malbim, what happened was they got two different letters. They got a letter from Achav that was followed by a letter from Esav saying, Achav's not going to be able to make it. You take care of it by yourself. So, if so, it would be more straightforward that they reported back to Esav. This is all in line with Malbim, who makes Ezevel's plot here a lot more intricate than it seems. Okay. Now, Vayehi Tishmaya, once again, we said Achav's hands are clean, right? He's not going to dirty himself with any such things. He would never do something like this. But Ezevel tells him, I'll take care of it. All right. He writes it off. Ezevel comes back and tells him, it's yours. He happened to die. What happens? No, he doesn't ask anything. Oh, wonderful! Where's his vineyard? Right? Vayehi Kishmaya, Achav Kimeis Navos. When Achav heard that Navos died, Vayakom Achav Laredes Okel Navos Israeli. Okay, so we have to fill out the inheritance forms. He gets right away busy with the paperwork. Right? Takes him a stride. Then Ishta goes to inherit it. No problems. So that's the story. Now what happens? Ayihid v'Hashem el Elio atishbi leimor. So then the word of Hashem came to Elio atishbi saying, Kom rei lichas Achav melech Yisrael asher l'shem. Go to Achav, the king of Israel, of Shomron. Hinei bekerem Navos. You want to know where to find him? Go find him in the vineyard of Navos. That he went there to inherit. V'dibato eilov leimor, and speak to him saying, Koyama Hashem. Here's what Hashem said. Harotzachto v'gam yorashto. Have you murdered and also inherited? V'dibato eilov leimor. So then follow up and tell him, Koyama Hashem. Here's what Hashem said. In the place where the dogs lapped up the blood of Navos, the dogs will also lap up your blood. It wasn't really the same place. The Rabbah says it means the same circumstances, following a violent death. So, this is the message that Hashem gives to Eliyahu, right? Now Eliyahu comes to Achav. Vayomer Achav el Eliyahu. So Achav says to Eliyahu, Hamitzosani oivi, have you found me, my enemy? What's he saying? Why is he saying my enemy? When's the last time they met? What's that? But at the end of Harakama. But they parted on good terms. That's right. They parted on good terms, right? What happened in the interim? Achav did not go back to Zavod Zara in an open way yet, right? So why is he greeting Eliyahu like this? Exactly. That's right. He knows exactly what Eliyahu is standing there. Before Eliyahu came, Achav is kind of, you know, pushing it to the back of his mind what he really is. He's innocent, right? He doesn't know what Ezevel did. Right? All she did was make a phone call and heard that he happened to have a heart attack that morning. But Achav knows.
Possession of it,
so what's that?
There's no where Navos inherited.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He knows. That's right. He knows. He knows. But it's not comfortable to address right now, right? So, so exactly. Elio shows up. He says, "Okay, I know you're here as my enemy. Hamitzosani, have you found me?" The Mepharshim say, have you found me as in you're accusing me? You found me guilty. I didn't do anything. So,
because the last pasuk he didn't say yet.
What's that?
Pasuk Yitzchak was not said yet. That was just Hashem. So
right. Hashem gave them right. Vayomer. So Eliyahu says, Matsasi. I did find you. Meaning, yes, I did find you guilty. Ya'an hismakir chola se'sora be'ine Hashem. Because you have sold yourself to do what is evil in the eyes of Hashem. Meaning, you knew what was going on. You knew what was going on. Don't claim innocence here. And he says, what's going on is, literally, he says, you sold yourself. The Farshim say, Ma'abim says, you sold yourself as in, yeah, you know what, you can blame all your faults on Yisrael. Nothing that you did, it's okay, Ben Hadad didn't have to do with Yisrael. But everything else, it's not my fault, it's Yisrael. Ha'isha Asher Nosata Imadi, in this case it wasn't Asher Nosata Imadi, right? But it was my wife, it's not me, I'm not the, you know, I'm the good guy here. So Eliyahu says, that's right, you sold yourself into Yisrael's hands. You completely let go of any of your own principles, etc. You sold yourself to do what's evil in the eyes of Hashem by just handing yourself over to Yisrael, letting her take complete control of you. And that's right. No, there's so much that you can be able to stand and say, wasn't me, it was her. Therefore, Hineni mevi elecha ra, I am bringing upon you evil. Hashem says, I'm going to sweep up behind you, meaning I am going to completely eradicate you. V'chrati la'achov mashtim bekir. This is a strong way of saying, I'm going to wipe out any remaining male. V'atzur v'azuv b'Yisrael. Meaning he's going to lose everything he owns, any of the things that he has stored away. This is referring to like money, etc. Azuv refers to like livestock, things that are left out in the field, all of his different possessions. Be Israel. This is going to happen in a very, very public way so that everybody sees what happens, what the end of such a sinner is. V'nasati es beischa keveis Yerovam ben Nevat or keveis Basha ben Achia. And I'm going to make your home be like the home of your predecessors, like the home of Yerovam ben Nevat, who was wiped out by an assassin, like the home of Basha ben Achia, who was wiped out by an assassin. Elakas ha-sheikh asto, because of everything that you've angered me, v'atachati es Yisrael, and you cause Yisrael to sin. V'gam li Yizevel dibra Hashem leimah. Hashem is not sparing Yizevel either, don't worry. Hashem sends the message about Yizevel saying as well, ha-klovim yechlo es Yizevel b'chel Yisrael. The dogs will eat Yizevel in the plains of Israel. Hameis la'achav be'ir. Achav's dead of his family in the city, Yechlo HaKlova, the dogs will eat. Tameis basode Yechlo et HaShemayim. And the dead in the fields will be eaten by the birds of the sky. Haklei hoya ke'achav asher ismake la'asai sora be'enei Hashem. Because indeed, there had never been anyone like Achav who so sold himself out to do what was evil in the eyes of Hashem, asher heisato oiso Yizevel Yishter, as he was incited to do by his wife Yizevel. So Rashi says, Yerovam did what he did, not because he believed in Avodah Zarah, not because he had some sort of ideology against Hashem. It was very selfish, right? You remember why he invented his Hagolim? Because he was scared, he's going to lose the kingdom, etc., etc. That's bad. And Yerovam got his punishment. It says in your case it's different. You went over to Baal with a passion. Why? He did it to please his sweetheart. But this is already a whole different story. You were embroiled in it head over heels. Now, Vayasev Me'oi, and he abominated himself extremely. In following the Emiri that Hashem had chased out of the land before the people of Israel. Okay, So what happens now? I'm sure you can guess. Right? We've already seen the pattern. Achol gets this harsh message. What does he do? Well, so when Achav heard these things, once again, he's full of regret, full of pain. He's going to do tshuva. He tore his clothing. He wore sackcloth. He fasted. He slept only in those sackcloth. And he now went, okay, either the Mephoshim say either he went barefoot, or he went like very humbly, slowly with his head down. So, you know what? Hashem accepts even such a tshuva to an extent. The word of Hashem came to Eliyahu HaTishbi saying, you see how Achav is showing his submission to me? Since he is, after all, showing this submission, he hasn't done it to an extent that he's going to really spare himself of his decree. But what? Yeah, I'm not going to wipe his house out in his day. He may bnoi avi haral beisam. His house will be wiped out in his son's day. Meaning, he hasn't proved himself to an extent to be able to be spared of the Xeris entirely. He is going to die a violent death. The dogs will lap up his blood. But in terms of the disgrace of seeing his house fall, that won't happen. That'll happen in the day of his son. Okay.